Grammy winner Janice Ian is here to talk about her viral post addressing Trump's presidency and give us her spin on her LGBTQ issues. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Tell us about your Facebook post that went viral.
You know, the weird thing, as I said to my wife the other day, is that you never know what's going to go viral. And so when I write for Facebook, it's the same to me as when I write for a magazine, like when I was on staff at The Advocate. I'm writing just with no thought of really who will read it. The post was really written out of anger. I was so annoyed at the amount of people who kept telling me to suck it up. And he's your president now, so just live with it. And especially the people who were huge Republicans who were arguing that, well, for years and years, you know, we just sucked it up with Obama and everybody was really civil to him. And I was posting apologies to his children on behalf of America because so many people were calling them apes. So I got really angry and it became very personal because I had a couple of people that I thought were my friends who were big Trump supporters. So I started saying, okay, where would you like me to start? Should I start with the pussy grabbing? Should I start with this? Should I start with that? And then I went over it a couple of times to make sure that I hadn't gone off the deep end. And then I put it on Facebook and I thought no more of it. And the next morning I looked and something like a million people had seen it. I think for a 65-year-old artist who really doesn't care about touring much anymore, and doesn't get a lot of exposure, I think 400,000 followers is pretty amazing. But all of a sudden, the numbers were creeping up, and by the close of the day, it was 3 million, and then 4 million, and then 5 million. Now I think it's something like 13 million people have read the piece, and it's been shared 90,000 times. I think what happened was I said something that a lot of people were feeling, but I said it as a writer would say it. So it's reasonably coherent. And I think maybe also, Charlotte, it got more play because I monitor my own page. I don't have a curator. It's me. So if I throw somebody off, I'm throwing them off. And if I respond, it's me responding. And I think that was part of why it went viral as well.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
I got tired of people telling me to get over it. There's a bunch of phraseology that was not part of our cultural English speak, if you will, until the Trump campaign and people like Steve Bannon. Get over it is one of them. I don't recall any of those people when Obama was elected getting over it. Sure, some of them were quiet, but they didn't get over it. They whined and they bitched and they moaned. And I know that from personal experience. I was very, very disappointed in some of my friends and acquaintances. But I think that disappointment has turned to anger because at this point it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to pretend that this man has anyone's interests at heart but his own. And I got tired of being told to suck it up and get over it. Those are not phrases that should be part of a civil discussion.
What was your reaction to the Women's March on America?
God bless women. I love being female. Oh my gosh. You know, I think that finally this last couple of generations had something to really rally around, and by gosh, they turned out in force. My stepdaughter was there. My friends were there. I was so proud of everyone. It was fantastic.
How do you see our LGBT community moving forward in a Trump administration?
Well, I think the question for anyone in the LGBT community is, can we move forward in this administration? This is an administration that's on record as saying that we are crazy, that we are mentally disturbed, that we need therapy in order to become, quote, normal. This is an administration that seeks to normalize hatred and bigotry and ignorance. My gosh, if they're normalizing anything, it's ignorance. They have the arrogance of their ignorance. So I don't know that we can move forward. I hope we can, but I think we'll be doing very well if we just manage to maintain at this point. And I would say that goes across the board, not just for gay people, but for the disabled, for anyone who dissents on either side, for anyone who is not white, male, wealthy. I think the coal miners are going to get hit too. You know, we're not alone in this. It's just a lot of those people don't realize it yet.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with a Trump presidency?
You're always going to struggle. If you're not struggling as a gay person, you're going to struggle, and I don't mean to minimize it, but if you're not struggling as a gay person, you may be struggling as a Jew. You may be struggling as a woman. You may be struggling as a male who doesn't fit the stereotype of male. So my advice to anyone struggling would be just keep struggling and find friends. Someone when I was much younger said to me, when you grow up and you leave home and you no longer have to be in school, you will be able to find your own kind. You will be able to find people like you. I think it's vital to tell young people that, because when you're in school, you're trapped. There's just no way around it. You're trapped. You have no power. When you get out of school and you can make your way into the world, you can find people who feel like you, and you can find people who accept you. And it's vital to tell them that. I mean, I tried suicide when I was young, twice. It's hard being young. It's hard being young no matter what. It's even harder if you're gay and young and you have no family support or peer support. But there are people like me out there. There are message boards like mine full of people who will be supportive. And you just somehow got to make it through because the rest of us need you.
How can people get information about your work and where you're performing and what's up with you?
They can go to my website, janiceian.com. There's probably more information there than anybody would want. They can listen to pretty much anything I've ever recorded there for free. Gosh, they can go to my SoundCloud page, which also has a lot of free downloads. They can go to my Facebook page. They can email me. There's a contact spot on my website where they can reach me directly. I'm pretty easy to find. As to touring, I'm on hiatus right now. I'm only taking 2 or 3 shows a year, basically to keep my hands in. Last year, I did Lincoln Center, and I also worked in San Diego with the San Diego Women's Chorus and got to raise some funds for the Lesbian Health Initiative and the Gay Men's Health Initiative there. But in general, I'm off the road. I've been on the road since I was 14. That's like some time in one place.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
If I want anything out of my work and my life, it's clarity. I don't like being confused. I don't like being scared. I like clarity. And then I would hope that my work would do what a song like At 17 seems to have done, which is reach a lot of people and not hurt them, but instead empower them and make them feel like they're not alone.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Yes, from Thelonious Monk. She says, "Some music is imagined." I love that quote. I think that's like life. You've got to imagine your life. And then go out and do it. Just like you've got to imagine the music you want to make and then go out and do it. Doesn't matter whether you're famous or whether you're brilliant. What matters is that you do it. For me as a writer, it just means that sometimes I just don't have the words to say the overall thing that I want to say yet. Sometimes I have to wait years. I have a song called My Tennessee Hills that I duetted with Dolly Parton on that took 5 years because I didn't know how to say what I wanted to say. So at 65, I assume that sooner or later I'll die and there'll be a lot of things I would have liked to say that I never got out there because I didn't have the talent or I didn't have the experience. But I can still imagine them. You know, it's not just music, like Monk says. Some lives need to be imagined. If you're a 10-year-old like I was sitting in New Jersey practicing guitar and trying to look across the skyline at New York and dreaming of the day when you could live there. I lived in New York in my imagination for years before I got there. But I think the important thing is that if you can imagine it, you can become it, you know? Our thoughts become our words become our actions become our character, and our character becomes our destiny. I think that's brilliant.